Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to Living with Emunah. As always, we begin with gratitude. Thank you to our incredible generous sponsors, Dr. Zavi and Bella Morgan, who sponsor our series in memory of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbit and in memory of Bella's mother, Dr. Ellen Chanzer, and in honor of, in the schus of, our incredible, heroic IDF soldiers. May Hashem watch over them, protect them as they watch over and protect us. This series, the Emunah series, is also generously sponsored anonymously in memory of the fallen soldiers and alumni of Bnei David, Mechina, Yeshiva, and Eli, with a tremendous gratitude to our sponsor, and in honor of those Yeshiva students, and in memory of those who fell. This morning's shiur is sponsored by Shmuel and Esther Shai, with Lenishmas, his father, Yaakov, Yudim, and Gedalia, and in the schus of Rav Shlema for her mother, Batsheva Bas, Bluma Rivka, anonymously in memory of Dr. Ira Mark Silverstein, Yisrael Mordechai Ben Dov, Zev, and Esther, by the growing family in memory of their father, Dr. Joshua Werblaski, on his first Yuritzite, lived a life of Torah, kindness, and family. And the Shema should have an Ali, and the Schus of Rafu Shlema for Aryeh Levinson, Aryeh Malkiel Ben Chana Bela, a 21-year-old IDF soldier from White Plains who was seriously injured in Lebanon. On his way to a recovery, should have a complete, speedy, and painless Rafu Shlema. And sponsored anonymously as well by Yaakov and Sarah Klein, also in memory of Charlotte Herzberg, whose short presence in this world was a gift to all who knew her, which we're going to talk about in a moment as well. Unfortunately, a horrific tragedy. But the response of this tragic circumstance and the parents is really a lesson for all. We'll come back to that. I'll start with some others. Okay, as always, we start with some emails, then we'll dive back into the learning of Rav Shaul Alta, the Geri Rosh Hashiva that we've been doing, of Kapitel Chav Gimel, Mizmor LaDavid, Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. I was at a wedding. No, I went to a wedding the other day. Didn't make us change our schedule this week, Baruch Hashem. Finally, 1 week, we're back on schedule. But when I got to that city, I went to Baltimore, went out for lunch with the people I was traveling with. And of course, when they give us the table number for the food to come, what number was the table? Of course, it was 23. Of course. Okay, good morning. I really enjoyed Game from the Pods this year. I just want to share I experienced a miscarriage right before Shavuos. So many pieces of Living with Emunah podcast came up for me and gave me support. Baruch Hashem, we live in Israel. The staff were also kind and sensitive. The experience was really the best case scenario. There was so much love and support just from the medical staff themselves. Yet it was full of pain and fear. As we sat in the Miyun Nashim for literally hours, just waiting, I found myself telling my husband, we are where we're meant to be. I felt calm and completely held and taken care of by Hashem. Thank you for giving the tools to face the challenge and other challenges we go through in life. I share that email. I get so many emails a week, and I'm so grateful. Please continue to write them. As I always say, whether I get to read them out loud or not, I read every one and respond to every single one. But the exercise of writing them alone, hopefully, it's powerful for all of us to process what we're going through. But I'd like to read the ones that are not. It was amazing and it came together and it was perfect and it all worked out. But I'm in the middle of going through a very challenging time. And nonetheless, I lean in and I find Hashem. As we talk about often, going through those challenging times, and too many of the emails have to do with miscarriages, infertility, stillbirth, loss of life. But in those moments, they can drive us and push us further from Hashem, or they can bring us in and draw us closer. We can lean out or we can lean in. We can't change often the circumstance. We can't determine often the outcome. But what we can decide is, will we lean out or will we lean in? And as I always say, leaning out, it doesn't make it any easier. As frustrated, even as angry as we are, as disappointed or resentful, Hashem, where are you and how could you and why are you? When we lean out from Him, we walk away or withdraw from Him, that doesn't make the problems go away. And it doesn't give us the resolve and resiliency to get through them. In fact, it's the opposite. We need Him more. And it's okay. Even while He holds us, we're allowed to punch and push and push back on Him and say where and how He can take it. And that is an expression and demonstration itself of our emunah in Him. But in those moments, that's our choice. Lean out or lean in. And lean in will always give us more chizuk and more strength and more resilience and make us hopefully stronger to get through whatever we need to get through. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, I just had two Tehillim Chav Gimel sightings. I was having a hard day trying to think about and encourage a family member who was having extra hard time. It was a little bit of a hazy day, but I blinked, and the car in front of me had the license plate, E-M-U-N-A. For those who can't spell, that's Emunah. I live in a suburb that isn't as Jewish, so it was really nice to see. So just when this person needed it, feeling down and out, could use some chizuk, a wink, a nod, a hug from Hashem. There it was, the license plate, Emunah. And to cheer my brother up, we've been watching the NBA Finals, originally from San Antonio. The Spurs are definitely lifting our spirits. Go next. There's been much excitement. It's been much excitement because a group of nuns have been attending the games. San Antonio, Texas is a very rich Catholic culture, and it's nice to see people cheering on the nuns as they root for the team. In a recent fan video, a man is discussing this phenomenon. At the end, he says, next time I need to work on my basketball, I'll pick up my Bible and read Psalm 23. And the person sent me the video to watch. Indeed, the person does. We flew 2 weeks ago to a simcha, and I was with my children on the plane. We were in different sections of the plane. And my daughter posted this in our family Hashkacha Pratis WhatsApp group, which I haven't invoked recently, but I'll remind you how important it has. If you haven't set one up, do it immediately. Maybe it's a group of one. It could just be you to yourself. But if you have anyone else to add to it, it's even more powerful, where people are reminded and encouraged and even incentivized and rewarded for finding Hashem in your day and for pointing out this thing or that thing or that. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't random, good or bad. It was from Hashem, and to feel His presence. This is what she posted in our family WhatsApp group. I switched to the guy next to me seat since it was empty. And this is the name that came up on the screen. You know, JetBlue, on the screen, it has your name of the person who reserved the seat. So this is the name of the guy that came up. And I thought it was Hashkacha. I was getting annoyed how long it was taking to take off, but really it's all Hashem's time, and He takes as long as He needs. What was the name on the screen on JetBlue? God's Time. I don't know who was flying on JetBlue whose name is God's Time. It's quite a name, God's Time. I don't know if that's a real name, but for whatever reason, it came up on her seat on JetBlue. She switched to an empty seat, and as she was getting antsy and wondering, why aren't we taking off already? There it was, a message, a wink, a hug, Hashem through the JetBlue screen telling her, hey, you're on my time. It's all God's time. We're always all on God's time. Create a family WhatsApp group. Your young children, teenage children, your children, someday your grandchildren, when they're old enough also, will look for and see Hashem and share it with the family. In their life, those little messages, those little reminders. Here's a story that happened this week. Hopefully you'll share. I'm sure you receive countless letters about dating. This may be just another one of the stories. I hope it can offer chizuk to others who are navigating the often difficult and confusing journey of Shidduchim. We are closer than ever to launching this very exciting project, which is our Emunah community, much bigger than the Shir. And within the community, there are sub-communities, and one of them is going to be Emunah in Shidduchim. And that's a priority. So for those, someone just met with me about this, for those who reach out about it, I know I keep talking about it. It's the best way to ensure it's going to happen is if I talk about it. But we're closer than ever, right, Marilyn? We're closer than ever to launching this. It's going to be incredible. We're weeks away. For the past year and a half, I've been dating without much success. I went out with 17 different guys. While some were perfectly nice people, I never felt the kind of connection everyone talks about. After a while, I began wondering if something was wrong with me. Was I incapable of developing feelings? Was I ever going to experience what people describe when they say, when it's right, you'll know? A few weeks ago, I was set up with someone who seemed promising. By this point, I was no longer just saying yes based off the bios. I did extensive research, spoke to references. Everything I heard pointed to this being a genuinely strong possibility. And then we met. From the first date, something felt different. For the first time in a year and a half, I understood what people meant when they talk about chemistry, excitement, connection. It felt like we really clicked. We went on 4 dates in a single week, and each one left me feeling more certain than the last. By the 4th date, I remember looking across the table thinking, this is it. This could be it. For the first time since I started dating, I wasn't trying to convince myself to be excited. I was. I felt as though I'd finally met someone whose neshama fit naturally with mine. I left convinced that Hashem was finally bringing me the person I had been waiting for. After spending so long wondering whether I would ever feel this way, I finally felt at peace. Everything seemed to be falling into place. Not to be anticlimactic, but 2 days later, he called and ended things. I was completely blindsided. The sadness was intense, but the confusion was almost harder. How could something that felt so right disappear so suddenly? How could I have been so sure? What made the experience even more difficult was something that happened earlier that very day. A few hours before he called, I realized he was the 18th guy I had gone out with. Chai. Throughout the dating process, I've diving constantly for clarity. When I made the connection, I felt this surge of excitement. It was perfect. It was a little message from Hashem. Chai. You've been through a long journey. None of it was for nothing. You've grown, learned, and become ready. Now, 18, your chai, lifetime, forever, your partner has arrived. And then hours later, everything came crashing down. Beyond the sadness, I was embarrassed. Upset, I allowed myself to become excited about what I thought was a sign from Hashem. I felt foolish for believing I'd been giving a glimpse. That night, I sat alone in a park crying. Looking for perspective, I called someone I deeply respect and turned often for guidance and chizuk. As we spoke, she shared a pasuk with me. Ki lo asher yira ha'adam, ki adam yira le'inayim, v'ashem yira le'levav. Man sees with his eyes, but God sees the heart. We see with our eyes, and we can only see what's on the surface. We see what's in front of us. But the pasuk says, Hashem yira le'levav. God sees the heart. She explained after only 4 dates, it's easy to feel you know someone. You see tremendous potential. Imagine the future together. Become convinced you found what you've been searching for. But ultimately, we only see what's visible to us. Hashem sees infinitely deeper. He sees the part of a personal relationship, a future we could never possibly know. The words sounded strangely familiar, and I immediately looked down at my wrist to see the exact same pasuk engraved on my Hodiah bracelet. Is that how you pronounce it? Hodiah? Hodiah? Years later, while learning in seminary, I had come across the pasuk one day while doing Nach Yomi, and I felt deeply connected to it. So connected, in fact, I chose to have it engraved on my bracelet. Not a famous pasuk, as far as I know, or one that people quote regularly. Somehow, on the very night I needed it most, this person had chosen those exact words. I sat there smiling through my tears. The next morning, I showed her the bracelet. Her response surprised me even more. I don't remember the last time I quoted that pasuk, she said. Honestly, I don't even know how I remembered the words. At the moment, something shifted. I realized perhaps the real hashkacha wasn't the chai at all. It felt as though Hashem was gently replacing one message with another, almost as if he were saying, you weren't wrong to look for me, you weren't imagining me, you weren't foolish for believing I was guiding you, you simply misunderstood where the story was going. The chai realization had me think Hashem was telling me who my person was. The bracelet moment reminded me of something more important. That regardless of the outcome, Hashem is with me, even in the disappointment, even in the confusion. I don't know the significance of why the person quoted the very pasuk that was engraved in my bracelet, but I do know it wasn't random. And I know that when I felt most alone, Hashem found a way to remind me he was right there beside me. So what was her chizuk? We see with our eyes, and maybe she saw after 4 dates and thought he was the one. But Hashem sees in the heart, and maybe Hashem protected her from what could have been pain, dysfunction, disappointment, divorce, who knows? So she chose to reinterpret and pivot from a place of anger, resentment, and pain, and abandonment from Hashem, feeling foolish and stupid for even having believed in him, to pivot to say through that pasuk that just happened to have been engraved and was therefore familiar to her, and she was wearing it on her wrist all along, that no, Hashem does what he does for a reason. I'm sharing these emails not with you. I'm sharing them with myself because we learn about Emunah, and it's so easy. So easy. Every Emunah shir, almost every Parsha shir, there's an insight that comes up because of Emunah. Yesterday's Parsha shir Shlach, the whole failure of the Meraglim was a failure to believe in Hashem. He said, it's going to be good. Come on this journey. And we said, we got to check it out. We got to send some to investigate. We have to go on a little mission first to come back and see. We failed. There was a breakdown. We didn't put our trust in him. It's easy to talk about. So much harder to implement and to live. And these emails are from extraordinary people who do exactly that. There are so many more. This person waiting for a child. Waiting and realizing Shlosha Shutfin Ba'adam, there are three partners. The Gemara says, Hashem, a father and a mother. She said, once I heard someone describe how an infertility, she felt the doctors and treatments were also part of the equation. The thought initially resonated with me. We're also going through the process. But after listening to the shir, strengthening my emunah, I felt a different clarity. I came to the understanding that ultimately it's only Hashem, the father and the mother, who bring a child to the world. Doctors and treatments are part of the effort, but they do not have independent power. Even if a doctor may say something is impossible, Hashem is never bound by that. One day I had a heartfelt feeling during Shemona Esrei. I spoke to Hashem and asked him for help. That is only to hold on to this emunah. That it is truly only the three partners in creation, no one else. After my tefillah, I noticed a sefer on my shelf about Megillas Rus. It was just before Shavuos. I had not opened it in a long time. When I opened it, I found a letter inside from the person who gifted it to us at our wedding. Attached to the letter was a small envelope I never noticed before. Inside was a $100 bill. It felt like a hug from Hashem. I hear your tefillahs, I see your emunah, I'm with you. Even if the full answer hasn't yet come, there's a closeness and care in the journey itself. Then she says, I was in a WhatsApp group of some of my classmates. My immediate thought was sadness. Many of them were already mothers. And the conversation centered around their children, which felt difficult for me. By the way, I'll just pause as a reminder because we learn up these emails. When you're in a WhatsApp group with classmates, when you're in a WhatsApp with anyone, just remember, not everybody in that group is in the position in life you are. Not everyone's yet married. Not everybody has children. Not everybody is going on that vacation or heading into that summer where their kids are going to sleepaway camp for 2 months. Not everybody's in the same position. So everything we post, everything we share online, in WhatsApp groups, even in conversation around Shabbos tables, should be done with the sensitivity and the mindfulness that not everyone is in the same position in life, and therefore be careful, and be cautious. Within seconds, says the person who's in this group, hearing all about everyone else's children while she's waiting for her own, within seconds I heard a song playing in my earphones, Ve'afilu Bahastara. A beautiful song that even in hiddenness, Hashem is there. The words reminded me, even in the moments of confusion or pain, Hashem is present holding me, crying with me. And that shifted my perspective. Instead of sadness, I was able to feel happiness for my friends. And they're building their families. They don't need to go through the struggle we're experiencing. Shir is part of our home language. My husband and I now often say when something goes wrong, it's how it's meant to be. Even small things like when I scratched my car while leaving a parking spot, because it's easier to bear with this thought. Thank you for the shirim, strength and amunah, help build so many people, and so on. If I might ask, when you say I am where I'm meant to be, why is it phrased more general rather than I am where Hashem wants me to be? So we're updating our expression and our phrase. It's a good question. Say it however you want. The main thing is the thought. We are where we're meant to be. We are where Hashem wants us to be. However you want to say it, the main thing is to come back to it. There's so many things I want to share with you. So many incredible emails. So many incredible insights. We'll have to come back to some of them. My daughter, our daughter, is in Poland right now. This is whatever iteration of the attempt to go to Poland from Israel. This one wasn't canceled. It came very close, as you know, because they left yesterday. It was unclear if the airport would even be open. But they're in Poland, and their first stop, or one of the first stops, was in Tarnow, where my great-grandparents lived and were killed, and likely their siblings, my grandparents' siblings, for whom I'm named, Ephraim Chaim, two brothers of my grandmother, for whom I'm named, were likely buried. There's a mass pit, a mass grave there. And unclear, we don't know, but it's likely where they were murdered and likely where they were buried. Chevet and I had the privilege several years ago of leading a trip to Poland that my parents actually were on. And it was incredibly powerful to, with my father, light candles there at that mass pit. And he said Kaddish for where his likely grandparents he never met and my great uncles for whom I'm named probably are buried. Why am I telling you all this? Because she sent a picture that on the fence that is cordoning off what is that mass grave is a little picture. Somebody put a sticker on that. And it's the stickers that we give out and make available to you. The sticker that says, Na lomar, one should say, Ani ohevos Hashem, I love you, Hashem. So these stickers that we encourage put under the mezuzah, when we come in and out of our homes, wherever we are, remember. And it's hard. How do you stand at a site of a mass grave? Babies, children, when you read, as we did on our trip, testimonials of what happened there in that forest and at that mass grave. I love you, Hashem. I feel your love, Hashem. Really there? When you think about this group of seminary girls who came from Israel, our homeland, and where we are now, and it doesn't take away the pain of that unimaginable, indescribable loss, but it reminds us that we can still feel his love and love him. We still have more of these. Feel free to take, use them, put them, place them. It could be under the mezuzah on your doorpost or wherever. The last thing I want to share before we get back into our learning. Two more things I want to share. One I'm only alluding to, but I'm going to share more later, is Yechaved and I, last summer, I don't remember when, one of our trips to Israel, we met someone in the old city and had a very beautiful conversation. Actually, I think she sent an email later. It was one of those stories of hoping to meet and meeting and Hashem putting us exactly where Hashem wanted us to be so we could meet. And she then sent me this incredible book written by her brother-in-law, even higher, A Cancer Patient's Faith-Filled Climb, Yosef Neumann, Zichron Levracha. An incredible, outstanding, I didn't have the privilege to know him, but I'm very close with people who knew him well, many of whom wrote introductions or askamas to his book. He was diagnosed with cancer, and he wrote emails on WhatsApps and messages to family and friends. And after, tragically, he passed away, they collected them and put them out. And each of these messages is filled with faith and hope, and they're extraordinary, extraordinary. And to follow his journey from the diagnosis to the treatments, to hopefully the recovery, and then unfortunately the turn, and even the end, and his messages and his words, it's really a sefer. This is an Emunah sefer. I haven't read it all, but I've made my way through a lot of it, and I want to highly recommend it. Yosef Newman, Even Higher, A Cancer Patient's Faith-Filled Climb, and Kol HaKavod to his wife. She should have strength and comfort and family for putting it out. And we'll quote from it. We're going to share from it, but I did want to reference it and encourage you. It's a very, very powerful, powerful sefer and Emunah. But the last thing before we get back into, there was a horrific tragedy. Parents just got up from Shiva, I believe, yesterday. There was a horrific tragedy that took place in Pomona and Muncie last week. An 8-year-old little girl was on a bicycle, was hit by a car, and ultimately killed. And that horrific tragedy was only compounded by the fact that the driver of the car was a good friend and chavrusa of the father of the girl. So a neighbor wrote me the following email that I share with his permission. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, I want to bring to your attention a remarkable Kiddush Hashem taking place here in Muncie. Tragically, last week, family who lived just a few blocks down lost their 8-year-old granddaughter in a bicycle accident involving a car. The driver was a neighbor and friend of the family. At the levaya, at the funeral, the 8-year-old father spoke movingly about the potentially unbearable feelings and divisions that such a tragedy could create between friends, neighbors, and families. Rather than allow resentment or blame to take root, he publicly committed himself to promoting achdus and shalom and called upon the community to do the same. In response, a community-wide Drop the Grudge campaign has been launched. You may have seen it. There's a whole campaign to drop a grudge. If you're in a fight, if you have a difference, if you're holding on to a grudge against a family member, a friend, a coworker, business partner, in the merit of this 8-year-old girl, Charlotte, to drop that grudge today. If the parents could not even not drop a grudge, not even have a grudge. To encourage forgiveness, understanding, and unity in Charlotte's memory. It's been an extraordinary and inspiring to watch the family's display of strength, faith, and character in the face of unimaginable loss. I thought this, he also shared with me a letter from Rabbi Benjamin Eisenberger that I want to share with you. He, the author of the email, says, I paid a shiva call to the family yesterday and spoke with several family members about the Shalom campaign. During the conversation I mentioned, I've been trying to help mediate a 14-year family dispute on behalf of a friend who lives in Israel. Unfortunately, despite occasional progress, the situation often seems to move backward. And that very morning had been a particularly frustrating example. The campaign inspired me to recommit myself, not merely to achieving a financial settlement, which until then was the primary objective, but to try to bring about a genuine shalom, peace resolution. Last night, during the Knicks game, the friend called. I confess. Morning, he sent me a copy of the very same Drop the Grudge flyer. He told me he had independently come across the story about Charlotte. His message to me was simple. I try to hold no grudges. Let's make peace. I know you don't need people to tell you the ending of the story to recognize Yad Hashem, the hand of God, so I'll refrain from predicting the outcome. I can, however, report that despite all the Emunah building opportunities, the Knicks still lost. With warm regards. I want to read to you now, before we get back into the learning, Rabbi Benjamin Eisenberger, great tzaddik in New York, wrote the following. His observation, you may have seen it, maybe we'll post it in the WhatsApp group. Son-in-law's brother. I witnessed something this week that I believe brought Hashem one of the greatest moments of nachas, from his Heilige Nation, Am Yisrael. He's a big rav. For such a big person to say, He witnessed something that he believes brought God one of the greatest moments of nachas. He said, "Well, my beloved son asked me to come out to Pomona for just a few minutes. I had no idea what I was about to witness. Something so deeply moving, I would spend the rest of the night searching for words to describe it. We are a nation that when tested, and severely tested, transcend every law of human nature. We're bound by something far beyond the natural. We're God's children. And last night, that truth was not a pasuk on a page. It was alive and breathing, weeping and embracing before my eyes. We have our weaknesses, and yes, we can sometimes be found holding a grudge, but that's not who we are. At our core, at the deepest and most essential level of our neshamas, we are intrinsically one. When push comes to shove, we love each other with a love stronger than anything this world can throw at us. This week, little Shendel Bas Chaim Yehuda Leib was taken from us, tragically and suddenly, in a moment that has shattered worlds and left a void that words cannot begin to fill. That loss, the pain, and shock are only beginning to set in, and things will perhaps never be exactly the same for the Herzberg family, for the family of the driver who struck her, and for everyone who loved her. Beyond the grief, there is another layer of the tragedy, when everyone is aware of a painful and almost unbearable dimension that could, in purely human terms, have led to something catastrophic, something that would have compounded tragedy upon tragedy. But that's not what I witnessed." He writes, "We walked down the road leading to the home, and as we walked, we passed the scene of the unspeakable tragedy. We passed with trepidation, with a heaviness in our chest, and with no words that can capture the kind of silence that falls over you when you're standing at the intersection of the human and the divine, when you realize that something has happened here that cannot be undone, something that has forever changed the landscape of this quiet street and of so many lives. We walked past it slowly and carefully as the ground itself was sacred and broken at once. And then after a walk that felt like hours, we arrived at the door. It was that beautiful, warm, open door of a Yiddish home that represents everything Torah and Chesed stand for, the door that had welcomed so many with warmth and light, and with the feeling that inside these walls Hashem is present. We knocked softly and it opened. We walked in through the hallway into the kitchen, the beating heart of this home. It was not just any kitchen. It was a kitchen where selfless conversations were held endlessly. The only question ever asked is how to help another Yid, how to build more Torah, how to give more, how to do more, how to be more. It was a kitchen where the currency is chesed, and the language is love, a halakha, a holy space, and we had come to it in the most painful of nights. What unfolded in that kitchen at Chatzos at midnight is something I will carry with me for the rest of my life. Something I do not have the words for, and yet I must try because the world needs to know what Am Yisrael looks like when it reaches into its very soul." This is what he writes. "Peering through the river of tears, I saw Shendel's father and the driver. Holding each other, hugging, kissing, embracing with a love that only Halakha Yidden can find in a moment like that. It wasn't a polite embrace, and it was not a stiff and painful courtesy. It was a real, deep, full embrace. The kind that says, 'I see you. I feel your pain. You are my brother. And nothing, absolutely nothing, will ever change them.' These were two men whose worlds have been torn apart. Two men whose worlds have been torn apart, holding each other together. I saw Mrs. Herzberg and the wife of the driver find each other too. Two Yiddish imams, two mothers who understood the deepest possible level what the other was carrying. The grief, the guilt, the love, the loss of it all. And they held each other the way only mothers can, with every fiber, with trembling arms, broken hearts. And in that holding, something ancient and holy passed between them. Something no tragedy, no pain, no human force could ever take away." Writes Rabbi Yamin Eisenberger, "I saw Gilo Shechina. I saw human beings rising high, high above everything regular, everything natural. I saw modern day Rachel and Leah. And I felt Hashem is looking down. And he's saying, 'This is my nation. This is why I chose them, and this is why I will choose them again.' Chazu, chazu, banai chavivai, demishtachim b'tzara d'lahon v'askim b'ched v'sadilei. The very sin of Shechina, the baitrous hatred that brought us into Gullus, melted before my eyes, and in its place stood something ancient and unbreakable. The Avas Yisrael, the love of a Jew forged at Matan Torah, ki ishachad b'lev echad, one man with one heart. The love that Hashem, our Father, hardwired into every single one of us. Last night, two families reached into the deepest, most hidden place inside themselves and found it again, against all odds, in the most impossible moment. We have so much to learn from these people. We need to learn that love truly means what Emunah and Hashem and its ultimate Hashkacha really looks like when it costs everything. Because the truth is that nobody does anything to you. Hashem is doing it all in every moment, every encounter, and every painful, confusing, heartbreaking chapter of our lives is written by His hand. So let us not hold grudges, let us not hate, let us not pull away, and let us not allow distance to harden into walls. Let us dig deep and dig even deeper and find the Avos Yisrael, the love of a Jew that's already there waiting, always waiting to help us embrace each other in our most difficult moments against all odds. If I was proud to be a Yid before last night, I've never been this proud. Standing in that kitchen, witnessing what these two families gave each other and gave all of us, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, how fortunate are we, how blessed is our portion, how extraordinary is our nation. This is what every person who walks through the door of this Shiva house should feel. And that is the gift these families are giving every single one of us watching, listening, and learning. So let's give them something back. Let us give Shendel, our sweet, beautiful Shendel, a gift. Let us each drop a grudge today. The one we've been holding on to, the one we tell ourselves is justified, the one that is quietly hardened up to something we no longer even examine. Let us let it go in her name. In the merit of the Shendel Bas Chaim Yehuda Leib, in the merit of these two Halik families, in the merit of every act of love, every dropped grudge, and every embrace that follows, may we finally, finally bring the Geula Shlema. Yehi Zecher Baruch. The postscript to that incredible letter and describing that incredible moment, calling on us to do equally incredible things. Someone who knows them sent me a picture this morning. They got up from Shiva yesterday, and already this morning, from a picture early this morning of that girl's father and the driver, his chavrusa, back in the Beis Medrash learning together. It's a lot of dust from the construction. Powerful. It's a powerful image and it's a powerful obligation on all of us. And the second and last postscript, and then we'll get back in. Someone else reached out to me from Muncie that the mother of this young girl apparently mentioned at the Shiva that for the last 4 years she's been listening to Living with Emunah. She's part of our community, of our family. And she ascribed that that's been one of the things that's helped her get through this. I don't share that with pride. I share that with gratitude of our family, our Living with Emunah family, of a sense of responsibility and obligation to expand it and grow it and really launch it. But I also share it that she's not a student of Living with Emunah, she's a teacher. In this reaction, in this response, in this faith, in this fortitude, she's not a student of Living with Emunah. Even if we haven't met, even if she hasn't been in this room, and even if I didn't know, we didn't know that our neshamas have been learning together virtually for these last few years. But that message that came to me, that she described, that she's been listening, she hasn't just been listening, she's now been teaching at a higher and more powerful and more potent and greater way than I and we ever could. So we daven that she, her family, they should all have strength and comfort, and that we, Klal Yisrael, can take that remarkable step, follow in their footsteps, in a way that hopefully will bring them strength and bring great merit to the neshama of Shendel. Okay, it's hard to go back from there, but let's go back into our learning. Shal Alter, we're learning. I pinned it to the top of, if you're watching and you want to find the text, I pinned it to the top of each Emunah WhatsApp group. So if you're in the Emunah WhatsApp group, which you should be, that's where all the announcements are, pinned to the top is this PDF. You can find it inside. We're on page 72, the bottom. Shayla, this is a question that was posed to Rav Shal Alter, the Gerei Rosh Hashiva. Bidvarim, shalok shir on the parnasa mammon, rom zos bofen yoser kal. When it comes to issue not connected to livelihood or money, it's easier to see this. L'dugma b'chinach ha'yiladim l'famim halach tov l'famim lo. When it comes to education of our children, sometimes it goes well and sometimes not. Rom is zahar b'yoser bar. We could see it more explicitly. Sha'kol tali b'ribono shel olam v'lo populos adam. That everything depends on God and it's not about us. That was the question. So how do we find it? How do we feel it? How do we see Hashem's hand? Right? What we learned until now, he described was anything that looks like it came about because of our own doing, it's an illusion. It's an illusion. This world is a matrix. This world is a matrix. We live in the matrix. It looks like our choices are bringing about those outcomes. But behind that matrix is the hand of Hashem. And even though it looks like it's our initiative, it's our effort, it's our ingenuity, we're the ones who are doing it, it's not us. It's all Hashem who's bringing the result. He wants and needs us to take the initiative. We learned about this yesterday in the Parsha Shir. He said, go send spies, send tourists, send meraglim to go see the land. But you're only doing that so you could check off that you took your initiative, not because you think that that's going to bring an outcome. The outcome is only and always only from Hashem. We got confused. We didn't only send spies to check off the initiative box. We also thought it would bring about the outcome, and that's where it went wrong. And that was the mistake, and that's why it was a big fail. But we need to know that when we go to the doctor, we need to go when we go to work and collect the paycheck, we need to know when we invest in that stock, we need to go with every effort or initiative we take or we make. We're doing that to check a box because Hashem, in kindness, let us believe that we're participating and contributing to a process. But in truth, the outcome is entirely and utterly and only up to Hashem. He uses the doctor or your boss or that customer as a shliach, but really they are just an illusion. The matrix, it could have come through them or through someone else. Ultimately, it is all only from Hashem. So the question was, how do we feel that? How do we see that? In some areas of life, it's easier than others. How do we see that and feel that more? The Hishiv Rabbeinu Shlita and Shalalta the Gerir HaShashiva Shlita answer the following. We see this in many things. Shiduchim, refuah v'od, when it comes to marriage, health, and more. Also with our livelihood, we see Hashem explicitly revealed. How often, just when we need it, we meet, we see, we hear from a client. We haven't been in touch with it in forever. Things just work out. We sat on the plane next to someone who could make a referral who we all of a sudden did business with. We had an introduction. We ran into someone. Something worked out. Things came together. The deal, the process, the job, the offer, the phone call, the connection. The Apostle Omer, yes, it's your koach, your ingenuity, your entrepreneurship, your initiative, your effort, your hard work. Yes, it's all of that that correlates with the result. But who gave that to you? Who gave you the insight, the entrepreneurship, the courage, the conviction? Who gave you the skills, the talents, the blessings that were necessary to have that success? Who anosein lecha koach la'asos chayil? So don't say, kochi votzem yadi, it's my koach. You know, I'm so successful because I'm so smart. I'm so smart, I'm so talented, I'm so creative, I'm so entrepreneurial. That's why I have the success. You are all those things. Humility is not denying all those things and pretending you're not. Humility is saying, yes, I've been gifted. I'm not saying this about me. A person can say, I have certain skills, certain talents, certain blessings, certain insights, certain instincts, certain entrepreneurship. But you need to know that it's not kochi. It's not yours. Rather, hu hanosein lecha koach la'asos chayil. God gave it. God gave it and God could take it away. God could take it away. Someone I used to play golf with used to say about golf, remember, whatever golf skills you have, they're on loan. They're never part of your permanent collection. Whatever hole, whatever round of golf you happen to play well, whatever skills you have, they're on loan. They're never part of your permanent collection. That is such a good motto and attitude for life. Whatever blessing, skills, talents, whatever you have, it's on loan, never part of your permanent collection. Whatever it is, could be true about your looks, your joints, your instincts, your talents, your public speaking ability, your whatever it is, it's on loan. It's not part of your permanent collection. I spoke over the past. Think about how many people there are like that. How many athletes who were at the top of their game, Hall of Famer, legends, who all of a sudden overnight lost that skill. They made the mistake of thinking it was theirs and it was theirs permanently and they can never get it back because it was only lent to them all alone. It was loaned to them all alone. How many famous singers who all of a sudden got laryngitis or got some other, all of a sudden concerts were canceled. They never put out another record. The young people, I'll explain to you later what that is. They never put out, they were done. Why? Because that voice was never theirs. That voice was lent to them. It was never permanently theirs. And all the talents and skills and blessings we have, they're on loan. They're never permanently ours. And when a person goes through life with that mentality, when we're grateful and say thank you for whatever we have, and we're grateful and we're honored and we ask, please continue to give it. Sometimes I find online or someone shows me someone who plagiarized a drush I gave or an article I wrote, or people say something without attributing it. And I always say, I could care less. I'm more than happy. I have a deal with Hashem. I'm more than happy to share what he's given me with others on condition he continues to give me. If you continue to supply me, I'm happy to share my supply with others. They don't have to attribute anything. Very little I say is my own anyway. I always quote others. So when someone else quotes it, they're just quoting the original, leaving me out. But that's my deal. Why? Because every day I feel that way. You're as good as your last drasha. You're as good as your last shir. You're as good as your last interaction, your last meeting, your last conversation, your last article. And you don't know that the next one's going to be as good or there'll be a next one at all. So therefore, what keeps us humble, what humility is realizing not that any of us are not blessed with certain talents, skills, gifts, but it's to realize where they come from and to be overwhelmed by the sense of gratitude for them and never stop saying thank you for them. Asking for help before every and thanking Hashem after every. Every musaf, not every, depends whether I get the nod from Hashem, from Yocheved, I get her immediate review of the drasha in real time. In real time, Baruch Hashem, I get the immediate review. So when it goes well, when I get a positive review, every musaf begins already with, thank you Hashem, so grateful that went well. So many things could have gone wrong. Ask Hashem for help before, thanking Hashem if it goes well or goes right after. All of us, with everything we do, have to feel that way. That's the greatest way to calibrate our compass, to stay centered, to remind and remember that it's not kochi v'otzem yadi, because that incredible meal that I cooked and baked and served, that incredible drusha I cooked up and delivered, that incredible deal that I negotiated and cut, that incredible argument in the courtroom that I argued, an outcome, verdict that I got, whatever the case may be, whatever skills we have, always ask Hashem before and thank Hashem right after. I have a great video. I've never shared it because it's probably inappropriate for me to even have taken it. But before Yishai Ribo left my office to walk in to perform before, we had 2,500 people, incredible concerts. Remember a few years ago, he put his hand on the mezuzah, put his head down, said a parak of Tillim, and asked Hashem help that concert go. What number of concert was that? How many concerts performed? He really was nervous. He really needed Hashem's help. But that's what I saw. Maybe took a little video of. Right before he went out, hand on the mezuzah, head down a parak of Tillim, please Hashem, let it go well. Whatever talent skill we have, whether it's on stage giving a concert or a concert or a drasha, whether it's the privacy of our kitchen, what we're cooking and going to be serving, whether it's the work that we're doing, whether it's the raising of our children, the carpool we're driving, whatever we're doing, to not say kochi v'otzem yadi, but rather, this is based on a drasha saran, to say ki hu hanosein l'chakoach. Thank you, Hashem, a composer, a good voice, a good speaker, a good author, a good cook, a good chef, a great mother, a good, whatever we are, whatever we have, it's on loan. It's on, don't get too comfortable. Don't unpack. Don't think it's yours forever. It is on loan. It's never permanent. And when a person mistakenly thinks it's permanent is when it's most at risk. And so long as a person remembers it's on loan, in that merit, we hope we can hold on to it. He will continue to lend it to us. Zelo mazel. It's not mazel. It's not just good fortune or good luck. Nor is it anything else. It is all the Almighty. It's all the Almighty, wherever and whatever you have in your life, wherever you are professionally, personally. Small, seemingly insignificant. That parking spot you got, it's because he gave it to you. That empty seat next to you on the plane, he made you choose the right seat that would be next to the one that would stay empty. Whatever is happening, the deal you cut, the stock that you went in, the job that you got that turned out to be for a company that would do incredibly well, none of it was random chance or accidental. It was all by design, carefully curated, choreographed from above. Sometimes they're big, smashing, enormous success. And sometimes he closes a door. Sometimes he turns off a faucet. Sometimes the bracha stops flowing because he says, I would like to hear from you. I want you to not lean out. I need you to lean in a little closer to me. I want you to lean on me. No, I want to hear from you. So the best way to get our attention, the best way, the answer is for us to show him that he has our attention without needing to do that. If we can show him he has our attention without needing to do something to interrupt or disrupt our lives, then hopefully it won't get disrupted. It won't get disrupted. But sometimes one of the emails that I didn't read was from somebody, a young woman in medical school. It was time to match. She had her choices. The first round she didn't match. Second round she didn't match. She wanted to know whether she should try a third round. Then she got a phone call that her first choice from the first round, somebody didn't accept. There's an open space. She's been given that slot. Great. I thought the email was one of those happy ending, perfect. Hashem showed her, opened the door, was incredible. Until she got a phone call the next day that said, I'm so sorry. It turns out the person who didn't respond was on vacation in a place with no service and couldn't get back, didn't see it. Now they are taking the spot, so I'm sorry, you're out. And she wonders, why would Hashem put me on that roller coaster? I didn't match. Then I thought I matched my ideal slot. And then it turns out that I didn't match in the end. And now I'm left without. And that email is not, therefore, I've walked away from Hashem. Therefore, there is no Hashem. Therefore, I've purged Hashem from my life. That email in my pile here, every week is a book of emails. Here it is. It was a heart-wrenching situation. I had come to a peaceful decision on my own previously. Then Hashem put me this opportunity without me trying at all. And then he took it away. I don't know why Hashem had to do it this way, but I do know that Hashem knows exactly what's best for me and loves me so much, and that I am where I'm meant to be in life, in my career, and in every other area. I decided, especially now, I have to send this email because this is where the true Emunah work is being done. Wow. This is not a listener to Emunah. This is a person teaching the Emunah. These emails are teaching the Emunah shir. That roller coaster, that story, God giveth, God taketh away, giveth, taketh away, ups, downs, in and out, and left, and says, I don't know why. Right now I have nothing. And I'm writing this email to let you know that in that place, not with the end it all worked out, in that place that says I went through all this and I don't know where I'm going next or how this turns out, and I know he loves me. And I know he closed these doors because he's going to open one for me. And I know I am exactly where I meant to be. Wow. Wow. This could be all of us. This could be the attitude that we all have in these moments. And we should draw chizuk from these extraordinary people, from something significant like that. Someone put in years and toil and effort for their career, with this incredible family in Muncie. These are stories, and these are correspondence, and these are demonstrations of the Emunah that we're aspiring to. It's easy. It's easy to take the next sticker. Say, I love you, Hashem. Say, Hashem loves you. You can put stickers all over the place. You can cover yourself in stickers. You can walk around sponsored by the Emunah Shir. Easy. It's easy. It's easy to say, and it's easy to sticker. It's harder to live. But wow, what it does for you in life, when you lean in instead of leaning out, when you lean on Hashem instead of leaning away, we find him in our lives. And that's the promise we'll pick up with next time. We continue in the same piece, but the Brisker Rav, Vaya Hashem Mivtacho, is the Schar. It's the Brisker Rav. I'll give you a little teaser as we end. The Brisker Rav said, Baruch HaGever Ashir Yivtach B'Hashem, Vaya Hashem Mivtacho. So we saw one insight. Isn't that redundant, repetitive? What does it mean by Hashem Yivtacho? Blessed is the person who trusts in Hashem, and Hashem will be his trust. It's repetitive. So the Brisker Rav said, if you put your trust in Hashem, the reward is Vaya Hashem Yivtacho. Shalach Hashu Botech B'Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu Mar Lo Begiloi Eich Hashem Hu Yivtacho. If you show that you trust in Hashem when you don't know how it turns out, when you don't see his hand, then he will reveal his hand, and he will show you how it all works out. Baruch HaGever Asher Yivtach B'Hashem, blessed is the person who puts their trust in Hashem, and the reward for putting your trust, living a life of putting your trust in Hashem, the reward for it is Vaya Hashem Yivtacho. Then you'll see why Hashem should be deserving, how Hashem, it'll be revealed how he is your trust. He's bringing about those outcomes. Sorry, I got a little emotional today. Incredible lesson, powerful example. We send our love and strongest wishes for comfort to these incredible, incredible people. Grateful to Rabbi Yehuda Eisenberger for capturing in words, not words, capturing in poetry what he witnessed and described. Powerful for all of us, and all of us, I hope, will take advantage of this charge to drop the grudge. Hopefully everyone here says, I wish I don't have a grudge to drop. I love everyone, everyone loves me. But in case you know somebody somewhere who has a grudge against a fellow Jew, drop it in the merit of this girl and the merit of the strength of her parents and this entire family. We're going to turn off the recording. We'll stay for questions and answers for those who are here in person. Okay, any questions?